The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Bittersweet is the feeling you get when you are happy about something, but it is also tinged with sadness. For example, you may feel safe in a new place, but feel sadness for the life and people you have left behind. You may discover new people in your life after losing someone close to you. You may discover something you had thought was lost forever, or a new exciting career path may appear after a traumatic event. Nothing can prepare you for the unforeseen tragedies that take place in our world. When you've experienced pain, hurt, and trauma, it can cause you to react in unhealthy ways, a natural fear response to protect yourself. These podcasts are about inspirational people who have reconstructed their lives and responded in transformational ways following huge traumatic events. NBS Bittersweet Podcasts are brought to you by Cultural Conversations, an arts-based hub where those who feel a sense of otherness lead the way. I'm your host, Tanya Nock, and today's guest is Jing Jing Jackson. Namai Harimai, and thank you for having this kōrero with me. I'm so excited about this. I'd love to start right at the very beginning of your story, where you were born and your childhood. Could you tell us a bit about that?
I was born in southwest China, the mountain area. In my upbringing, it's literally like the whole village or the whole street people took care of me. I remember my neighbor came to pick me up, or when they were not well, they would come to my home and my grandma or my dad, my mom will give them a scraping massage to help them feel better.
Did you say there were like 40 ethnicities in China?
There are 56 ethnicities,
wow.
And 50. The biggest one is Han, which take 90% of population, and the rest 55 minorities, and I'm one of them called Zhuang, ethnic minority.
And what makes you Zhuang? Mm. What can you sort of talk a bit more about that group of people?
So we are very connected. We are mountain people. We are very much connected with the land and the mountain. For example, in the springtime, after the busy season, we all had one day off for the cow or the ox because we relying on the animals. So we will have one day we paint the cow and then we celebrate, we dance, we singing. We also live very much in reason with the season. So in different season, we have different food and vegetables. And like,
so you eat what's, you know, there.
Seasonal
and
food.
Then seasonal.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a really good way to do things, you know, sensible way to do things.
Yeah.
What were your favorite dishes as a child? What did you like to eat?
I think in the springtime, I really love the fern, the baby fern leaves. We'll go to the forest or the bushes. We picked mushrooms after the rain or the fresh, like wild salad.
And how many different languages are there in China?
Regarding language, there are few. There, I would say like Chinese, the Mandarin is the main one we all learn in school, so people can communicate with each other. And in Cantonese area, we speak Cantonese, but in my hometown, it's very diverse. So
lots of dialects.
Yeah, lots of dialect. And like from here in Richmond, Nelson, we can speak completely different dialect. But on the regional level, we have regional dialect. And then on the tribe and village, there are different levels of dialect. Yeah.
And you always strike me, Jing Jing, as being able to do so many different things, like with your career and everything. So as a child, did you have any dreams of what did you want to be when you grew up, you know, as a job?
Oh, I want to be a teacher so I can give candies to my favorite friends in kindergarten.
So as you grew, you discovered traveling and your travels took you over to Europe. And can you talk a bit more about the village that you lived in with no currency?
So there was a Road of Steiners Camp Hill community. Most people, we call them villagers. They have disability, or intellectual disability, or we call special needs. But they are just like you and me. They are very capable. They can work. And some of them, I'm amazed, they can speak four different languages. They know painting, and they are very good artists. They can play piano, and I know nothing compared with them. So my role there is to lead with them, and because those volunteers, co-worker, we live together, we share three meals together, we share our life as a family, and we give them some assistance whenever needed. But it's different with like caregiver. We simply like co-worker in workplace. We work together with them, and we have different sort of workshop, like the garden. In the garden, we grow organic vegetables. And the farm, there are organic vegetables and also animals. And we have the dairy product. We make cheese and yogurt and candle workshop, wood workshops, and which is self-sufficient for the village that we can make income. We can make some income when we go out. But within the village, nobody work for money, and you get whatever you need. We got house, we got food. Everything is basically for free. We work for each other's needs.
And so how long did you spend there?
I spent 2 years there, yeah.
And was that where you met your Kiwi husband?
No, I met him naturally before I left. And then we came
in China?
No, in New Zealand, when I had my working holiday here.
So then you went off to travel, and then you decided to come back to New Zealand?
Yeah, because during the 2 years we have such amazing friendship.
Yeah.
And so then when I went back to China, already in my 30s, and my parents, they start to worry a little bit, like, oh,
that you weren't going to get married.
So they tried to arrange some dating for me, and I thought, wow, if I have to marry, I want to marry my best friends.
Ah. Yeah. What was his name?
Philip Jackson.
And so you came back to New Zealand with Phil. And where did you live? Was it Nelson?
Yeah, in Nelson.
Yes.
Yeah. He came to China first. We got married in China.
Got married in China, yes, so he met the family.
Yeah, met all my family.
Oh, how wonderful. And then you came back to Nelson, and can you talk a bit about those painful times in the 6 months?
Yeah, so we have great time in China, got married, and then been blessed by all the neighbors and three generations, and some people I don't even know, but because they are my family's friends, so they came to our marriage, wedding ceremonies, and we came back. To start with, I got a visitor visa based on my partnership, a 9-month visitor visa. I cannot work, so I rely on my husband, but he's really supportive, and he said, I just do whatever that made me happy. So I volunteer a lot. I volunteer for English Partner, help the former refugees to learn English, and in Red Cross, do whatever I can. And yeah, and then also just like a typical Oriental wife, and doing some housework, make the house lovely like a home. And then one day he came to pick me up when I finished my work at my volunteer work at Red Cross, and he said he has a chest pain, so he said, can you just wait? We might need to take a taxi or whatever. So eventually I got a taxi and I went to pick him at his car. We left the car because he said he didn't think he could drive. He got the tooth pulled out that afternoon, so we thought just probably the toothache was a bit too serious. So we went back home, and it felt was very cold. So I put a hot water bottle on, and for for him. And all of a sudden, he said, I don't want to die. And so, of course, I said, you don't. We are going to travel and then have an amazing life. And then the moment he just fell down on the ground.
Wow.
Yeah, and then just like that. And then he did not wake up. We all thought, and I asked neighbors, I thought he was joking because he's such a joking person. I thought he tried to make fun of me because often, yeah, we make fun of each other. And then I realized it wasn't a joke. And I called a neighbor and I was so panicked. Even I volunteered in Red Cross, I know what to do, but I was so panicked, I did not do anything. And I tried to do CPR and I find I did not do it right. So I called a neighbor, and the neighbor kind of very chill because nobody expects that. And they thought he still had breathing. And then we started to run the ambulance, and we live down in Mai Tai, very far away. So when the ambulance came, it was just too late.
So here gone. You were in a new country with your new husband, and then suddenly one day your life just turns all around.
Yeah, we were planning to like set up a business so we can spend half year in China and half year here, and he really loved the Chinese culture, and we also planned to have babies. So
and so you were left with all the paperwork, all the administration after the death, and having to sort that out. Did you have support from people
because
around?
I was his direct, the nearest king. So yeah, I have to look after his like funerals, and of course there'll be like victim support came straight away. But it's I was in such shocking state, and they have some very strict rule, like I could not drive at that time, and they cannot take me to the funeral home. But my husband's friends is really helpful. My husband's friend Paul, and it's like his brother. I stay with them in their home and for almost 10 days until the funeral finish. They take care of me, take me to the funeral home, and I didn't want to do anything. I just want to spend more time with him at that time. So yeah, and the funeral director is very helpful as well. Then a lot of volunteers, co-workers at that time I met in Red Cross and in English language partners, and all trying to help me. I remember After 10 days, I said, I really want to go back to our home. I can't stay in. I said to Paul, my husband's best friend, I said, I need to go back to my home. But I also feel very lonely because it's just myself now. And then one of my friends who I met in an English language partner, and she's also an English tutor. So she said, don't worry, I will come to give you some company. She's a teacher in MIT teaching outdoor. So she said, I'll bring everything, my camping stuff, and you don't need to prepare anything. So they gave me great support.
So you must have felt homesick at that time. Did you ever feel like going back to China?
No, because my family was also in shock. And in Chinese culture, there is it's very male dominant, I must say. So my parents, they tried to comfort me, but they did not know how to comfort me. And then some friends will say, you know, you're still young, you can still find another man. And then I remember I met some friend, they are old Chinese, and I tried to shake hands with them, but they just back off, said was dead because I'm a widow, and it's like kind of like no lucky thing for them. Then my husband just died.
So you felt Nelson was a safe place to be for you, but you know, obviously you were feeling grief and going through that, but you actually felt that you did have the support you needed in Nelson at the time?
Yeah, I really, really do. There's, I feel just like a seed, like the heart, the safety shell is now broken. I have to be grounded. And instantly, there are so many strangers and people I thought was strangers, and they come to me and they were so generous and so kind to me. I remember the bank manager who looked after our account because I need to close the account. And one day he asked me in, and I thought, oh, I might need to do some paperwork. But then he gave me a $50 gift voucher countdown, and I came out of the think. Aww. I still cannot remember. I just crying because I did not expect people could be so kind to me.
How beautiful.
Yeah, it's just $50. It's not just, but for me at that time, it showed that how much they...
You had. People had your back and they had you. And I love the way that you described the seed in the shell. So that's how you, so you had that time. Did you go into yourself for a while with the grief? Did you have that personal time on your own, or did you feel like you wanted to be with people?
I think I realized I need support because I did not eat. I just did not have any strength to do anything. I carry my husband's ash in my backpack every day and night. Apart from I have a shower.
Yeah.
And even in bed, because he's always sleeping by my side. So wherever I go, I took it. And then I have my counseling at Nelson Viming Center. And people also refer me to Victory Community Center. And I met Penny Monad, which later on became my family friend.
Yeah.
He was a nurse there because I did not have a job at that time, still applying for a visa, so I felt so that I can kind of rest my husband, because after I paying off all the funeral fees, I did not have much money left, only less than $1,000 in my account. So the choice would be either I went back to China, which would be kind of a shame to my family, and what's even worse is that my niece was diagnosed with leukemia at that time, a 13-year-old girl, and my whole family was selling house, selling car, and they did a big fundraiser in school, workplace, the neighborhood, and tried to save the kid's life. And I did not want to go back home with a sad me at such a state. So I determined that I want to rest my husband. I need to pull myself out.
So how did you pull yourself out? What did you do? How did it happen?
I really relying on count people. I remember in my counseling, I have 10 session counselings with my teacher. Later on, she became my teacher, Miffy Jones, and who's my counselor at Nelson Viming Center. And every time I just crying, she did not say anything. But I really feel great relief. And then with Penny, Penny said, you need to see our MP. But nobody was able to accompany me. So eventually I went to see Nick Smith. And Nick was really helpful. Nick instantly, and then he wrote a support letter to me. And then I was also trying to find a job myself, because now my marriage finished and immigration will not issue me a partner-based visa. And they say, you need to find a job.
So not only had you lost your husband, you were, away from your home, your family, but the immigration partnership visa was just because your partner had passed away, your husband had passed away.
Yeah, and then after I was kicked out from our rental because I did not have more income in the months later. I just started woofing, and some friends said, you can stay in our house. So I kind of house sitting and woofing and stay with friends from one to another in between all this time before I got my work visa. And Nick Smith wrote me a support letter and knocked at the street really one by one to ask them, do you need someone to work? And then luckily when I volunteer in UK, so I learned some caregiving skills. So caregiver is pretty much in shortage. The manager was really so kind. He heard my story and he said, if we cannot give you a job, there will be such a shame. So she registered the job instantly within 3 hours. And then within 48 hours, then I got a reply from the labor market test. And we wait for a few days and nobody applied for a job. And then, I got my first work visa together with the support letter from our MP, Nick Smith, now our mayor. Yes, so I'm very really grateful.
That made it, that opened up a lot of things, having that work visa then.
Yeah.
Because you could get a job and then get somewhere to live. And then eventually you got residency.
Yeah. And I remember when I got my first work visa and said, I can stay. And Penny met me in the cafe and she cried together with me.
Oh, I love Penny too. So when we started Cultural Conversations weren't a trust and... Yeah. We had 24 hours to do some lottery funding and Penny was actually going to a movie and we managed to get the application in and they umbrellaed us with the organisation CAN.
Yeah,
so it's amazing to have people like Penny in our community, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now you've become a person like that.
Oh, thank you.
Because now you're supporting us at Cultural Conversations. You're one of the people that put a regular donation in each week.
Oh, thank you.
You know, can you talk a bit more about that and how you are now supporting other people?
Yeah, I just thought I got so much love and kindness from the Nelson community. Like, I got my first job, which is the minimum wage at that time, and I need to drive to different people's home, maybe 10 different people, 1 hour here, half an hour there, help them to heat up the meal or help them have a shower, do some cleaning. But I remember some of my clients, when they arrived and their family members said to me, just sit down, Dad really enjoyed the conversation with you. I'm a nurse, I can heat up the meal, I can do the medication, you just have a cup of tea. And then when my client passed away, they said to me, you come to our family seat, you don't sit at the back on our funeral, we want you to be part of us. So I really feel being honored that to share such a journey with people and with elderly people. They share their life story with me there. And then I start to heal myself, realize it's happening. Any family, people have their loved one pass away, and maybe even children. So it's just part of life. It's not because that I have such bad luck.
No.
Yeah, so I heal myself slowly. And then like with Penny helped me to get... I said, I really want to understand more of New Zealand local society. And I got a law degree at that time when I was still doing caregiving. So he said, oh, maybe you should get on board like Multicultural Council or some kind of committee so you can get to know the governance. That's why I started to get involved into migrants' activities and later on get to know Cultural Conversation. And also from there, I got to know my former boss, Mike McMillan, who is a partner in Pitt & Moore Lawyers. And through those governors' meetings, and Mike got to know me. Eventually, I got a job in Pitt & Moore Lawyers. I'm very honored to work with Mike and learn so much from him. And also thanks to my job in Pitt & Moore Lawyers and got my residency. and now I set up my own business. And I do not have much, but I have enough. And I really hope that I can help people who come later after me, like a new migrant, and to get to know the local communities and then to contribute their skills. Like so many migrant artists that I met in Cultural Conversation, they are amazing, like fitness instructor at the meantime, cook amazing meals and have so many talents that can enrich the local community.
We love having you as part of Cultural Conversations. And if I was living in a home like, is it the Green Gables that you go to?
I
would just so love to see your face each day, because I mean, I can just see how the residents there would just adore you. You know, I adore you so much. So I love my face massages. So can you talk a bit more about the new business that you've set up?
So now my business are mainly focused on the well-being. Because I love my legal job, but like in the last few years, the mental health problem has really become like a crisis. I have close friends and they said, oh, my kids just trying suicided, few of them. And then also met friends whose kids really took their life. And I've been thinking what I can contribute to the mental health and well-being. And I reflect on my cultural upbringing. And I thought, in New Zealand, we have the idea of privacy, individuality, that is my right. But in the meantime, people feel lonely, like elderly people, or just generally, we don't have enough body touch. Or so I want to provide healthy and relaxation, therapeutic body work, like face massage. When you stress, sometimes we don't necessarily need counseling. We might just want a cup of tea and have a sit down. We can do some face massage or like doing some artwork, a cultural conversation. And it's very distressed. We don't really need to see GP or psychiatrist to go to that step. So I think on the prevention stage, we have so much to do. That's why I start my business. It's called The Healing Heart, which is right at a Nelson Central Arcade, right in CBD. So I provide the face and the Chinese head massage, which I learned from my grandma when I was young.
It's beautiful. I love it.
And I also teach Tai Chi and Qigong. So when people feel being supported, and slowly people can build up some healthy lifestyle, and when we are no stress, the body actually knows how to take care of itself. And I think when one person get out of my studio, get off the table, feel so happy and relaxed, and everyone meet the person, their family members, their colleague will feel happier. And that's my 2 cents value as to the mental well-being and workplace well-being space.
I know that I come out feeling completely blissed out if I've not been snoring as well. You're very kind, actually, Jing Jing, because I say, was I snoring? And you go, no, just purring, just gentle sounds. So, you know, going through what you went through can really, you can understand what people are going through. So what would you say to somebody who has recently lost their partner and is feeling terribly lost? What would you say to them?
Well, there's a story. It's hard to say to individual because everyone is could be so different. Sometimes I have some friend who being referred to me who like similar age to me and lost their husband. We just simply being there with the person. And
so maybe to find support, find somebody you trust. You know, if somebody was feeling lost, and maybe to reach out to someone, would you recommend that?
Yeah, I think definitely find some support.
That's what helped you.
And there's a light down the track, and it's really, it happens on everyone in our life. We all experience trauma. Trauma is not something strange. And in everyone's life, everyone has his own trauma. Get through it. It's a blessing in disguise. And take actions when we feel positive. So what I mean is, don't make those serious decisions like I want to give up or something. Just have a day. If don't have a great day, but have a day. This seriously is a blessing in disguise, and one step in a time.
So what are your plans and dreams for the future, Jing Jing?
I hope to see everyone is so happy, like the babies, when you meet each other, and even when there's nobody around, they will all happy. That's what I like to see, and people got up in a park and doing Tai Chi and meet people. Yeah, that will be my vision, that in 2 years and 3 years, more people doing singing, Tai Chi, dance, or in the park, we meet each other, like cultural having outdoor version, basically, meet different people or enjoy life.
And you've just done the most amazing Chinese New Year celebration at Cultural Conversations, and it was beautiful seeing all those children doing the rabbit dance. So can you tell us a bit more about the Year of the Rabbit? What does that mean?
The year of rabbit, and rabbit is very smart. You know, they have different holes, the rabbit holes. And rabbit is the water rabbit. Water means, you know, soft and zealing and acceptance. So this year it is said, I learned from what the other books told, saying compared with the tiger year, which is a lot of action, a lot of sharp changes, this year will be much for reflection, acceptance, and for flowing with the life itself. So for healing, I think it will be a very good time to reset and recharge and rethink about what we really want and how we build our futures all together.
Well, yeah. I truly admire what you do, and I'm so grateful that you're part of Cultural Conversations.
Oh, thank you.
You have been listening to NBS Bittersweet Podcasts, inspirational people who have reconstructed their lives and responded in transformational ways. These podcasts have been funded by NBS and produced by Aham Sound for Cultural Conversations. I'm your host, Tanya Nock. We appreciate you listening. Thank you, Namihi Nui.
Thank you,
Jing Jing.
Thank you, Tanya.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.